stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Conklin.
Here.
Grunsch.
Here.
Needhammer.
Here.
Page.
Here.
Solomon.
Here.
Quorum present.
Thank you. Before we get started, I'd like to recognize this situation. Governor Gretchen Whitmore has ordered the U.S. and Michigan flags to be lowered to half-staff today, Tuesday, October 8th, to honor the service of Army Sergeant, Staff Sergeant Kelly Richards, which will coincide with his military funeral. Staff Sergeant Richards embodied everything that makes our state so great, and his passing is a tremendous loss, Governor Whitmore said. A resident of Grayling, Staff Sergeant Richards was currently serving as a healthcare specialist with the 3rd Armored Brigade Combat Team, 4th Infantry at Fort Carson in Colorado. He was deployed to the Middle East under Operation Spartan Shield. Sergeant Staff Richards passed away on Wednesday, September 25th, at the age of 32 years old, while competing for an expert field medical badge at Camp Casey in Seoul, South Korea. Sergeant Staff Richards was born in Petoskey and was raised in Boyne City and graduated from Grayling High School. So, moment of silence for Staff Sergeant Kelly Richards. Thank you. Let's move on to the consent agenda. The purpose of the consent agenda is to expedite business by grouping non-controversial items together to be dealt with by one commission motion without discussion. Any member of the commission staff or the public may ask that any of the items or item on the consent agenda be removed and placed as the last item under new business to receive full discussion. Such requests will be automatically respected. We have two items: approval of the September 23rd City Commission regular meeting minutes as presented, and approval of a resolution for charitable gaming licenses for the Boyne City Elementary School PTO for their yearly raffle, and authorize the city clerk to complete the resolution. Is there any comments from anyone or commissioners?
No. Motion to approve is presented.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you. Moving on to hearing citizens' comments on any non-agenda items.
Yeah, I have a question.
Sure.
I don't know if it's my time to speak or not. But
this would be the right time if it's a non-agenda item.
Yeah, I have a question.
Can you state your name, Chris?
Chris Anderson. I own Anderson Lawn Maintenance in Boyne.
Okay.
I just started my business about a week before the 4th of July. And I was wondering, I help out the community, people here in Boyne City. And I was wondering why I have to pay $1,000 now to go up to the dump to drop off brush and debris. And I was just wondering why I have to pay $1,000 now. I can't even go in there and do stuff on my own yard without paying $1,000, because I get yelled at every time I go up there. And I was just wondering why that is.
Have you talked to Tim at all?
I talked to the guy that was up there. I don't know his name. He works for the city.
Okay.
He does some paperwork or whatever he does up there. And he comes and yells at me every time I go up there to drop off brush and everything, because I didn't pay the city $1,000. And I was wondering why that is.
I'll give you a brief explanation, but then what I would like you to do is meet with Mike or Tim and go over it. They'll explain our regulations, but basically, if you, as a citizen, from debris from your own yard, you can go out and use it free if you live in the city limits. As a businessman with a business, then we are charging $1,000 for your business to dump the refuse there. But I'm not the expert on it, and I think, Tim, would that be your field? So, you know, sometime tomorrow or this week or next week, if you meet up with Tim, he can explain that in detail.
Yeah, because I'd like to know why it's $1,000 now that just because I went in there one time with my business name on my truck. And I come in and get yelled at for, particularly up there when everybody has a business born, is in here in Boyne City.
Okay. Will that work for you? Can you meet with Tim?
Yeah, I have one more question.
Okay.
Why don't you guys have anything in this town for kids to do? Like any skate parks or anything that would cause, anything that would get away with, you know, all the vandalism that kids are doing, like all the drugs kids are doing? If you guys had like a skate park or something to do in this town for kids to do?
Well, that's another discussion point with staff at a later point, but I would argue that a free beach, a free avalanche where they're skating and sledding and disc golf.
Yeah, but if they go and do that.
Let me continue, and a free dog park to take your pets, and free fishing, and on and on and on, Chris. I think that can be discussed at length, but I'll have that discussion with you at a different time. How's that?
Okay. But just one more thing to go about it. Let me think, if you go do something, how many times that they're not really interested in, that they're going to get bored of what they're doing, when everybody in this town's, all the kids I know skate. They skate, they do skating, they do a bunch of things, and if you were to put a skate park in this town, that's where all the kids would flock, and they'd be able to, you know, keep control. Instead of them going out and doing drugs or whatever they gotta do to keep themselves occupied.
Can I call you sometime soon?
Please do.
Okay. We'll have that discussion, and I'll bring in some of these guys if I need their expertise, but we can do that.
Okay.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay, moving on to correspondence. I don't have anything, Mike.
No.
Moving on to city manager's report, Mike.
A few updates. Start off with some construction projects. The work on the Boyne Mountain Sea Beach supported force main project on M75 is pretty much complete, with the project inspected last week and a punch list of final items to be done and prepared. The new force main is now operational. The remainder of the pavilion overhead doors were installed last week. The contractor also put on some temporary service doors, so if you see these doors on there that don't look quite right, they're just temporary doors so they can secure the building while the construction's being taken place. Shortly, Barb's is scheduled to be delivering a lot of trim boards and interior plywood, so they can be doing some staining and painting of that while the final plans are being prepared and the necessary permits secured. The reconstruction on Cedar Street is pretty much complete, with just a few items to be touched up upon, like the installation of a short section of curb. On Terrace Street, the new water main passed all of its pressure and back feed testings. The contractor is working on water and sewer connections. Overall, they have 22 water connections and 23 sewer connections to do on that street. Rough grading of Terrace is anticipated to take place by Friday. With all the recent rains, the project is about 2 weeks behind schedule, and we're now looking at an October 25th completion date. This morning, we received an update on the Rotary Park tennis court repairs from Keith Young at Harbor Springs Excavating. The coating subcontractor, and their name is Racket Sports, has indicated that they need 5 to 7 days, so basically a full week, of nighttime temperatures in the high 50s to allow their surfacing, the coating, to cure. So it looks like getting the coatings done this year is no longer possible based on the extended weather forecasting. They are coordinating with Payne and Dolan to mill the surface deeper and apply a new top coat of asphalt, and we're hoping that can still be done this year, weather permitting. Unfortunately, that means that we'll have to close the courts until spring based on today's news. So we're working with the contractor to have them expedited, but obviously they've lost a lot of ground. Groundbreaking ceremony for the new Boyne Valley Trail project will take place tomorrow at 8 a.m., that's Wednesday, near the Boyne Mountain Tennis Courts. Work has begun mainly on the excuse me, the east end of the project, and all people are invited to attend that groundbreaking. The brush grinding and earth boring has been completed. Tim will be reviewing the invoices shortly, but preliminarily he figures that the experimented ended up with about twice the materials processed and about half the cost. Boyne City, along with Charlotte and East Jordan, have supported a grant application from SEEDS to attempt to secure funding to study the viability of a single hauler curbside trash and recycling program in our communities. There is no commitment from the city, financial or otherwise, other than our interest to explore this possibility. Previous recent efforts to secure bids for such a service under Charlevoix's leadership were not successful. And I'll keep you posted on where this goes and if SEEDS is successful in getting that grant. Our gravel streets throughout town are scheduled to be graded this week. In the coming weeks, we'll be assisting two rubble retaining wall projects related to the high lake levels that we have been experiencing this year. We'll be allowing contractors that are working with the Harborage Marina and a private residence in the city to unload and store stone on our shoreline northwest of the Little League Field, just west of us here, for approved projects. The contractors will restore their work site after it's done. The stone's coming in on barge, so they needed a place to unload it off the lake, temporarily store it until they can take it out to their construction site. So since the park is pretty much slowed down for the rest of the fall season, we figured that we could accommodate their request to help out. Last week was the last Wednesday farmer's market for the season. This coming Saturday's farmer's market will be the last outdoor one for the year. Then after that, the farmer's market will move into the first floor of this building on Saturday, October 19th until spring. Stockpiles of the recently approved softball field dust have been received at Rotary Park and are scheduled to be applied this week. Fall leaf pickups begin on Monday, October 14th, and continue through Monday, November 7th, on Mondays and Fridays only. And to be eligible for a pickup, the leaves must be in biodegradable paper bags. At our next City Commission meeting, I anticipate that we'll be conducting our related quarterly goals update. That was supposed to be happening a little while ago. And consider awarding of the bids for the conducting of the planning efforts for avalanche and open space. Those bids are going to be received, reviewed at the Park and Recreation Board later this week for a recommendation to come to the City Commission. Absentee ballots for the upcoming November election, City Commission election, remain available here at the City Clerk's office. If you have questions on these or other items, I'd be glad to try and address them.
Okay. Any questions?
My tennis court, so the fact that that evening's at 50 degrees, so does that mean we're looking into mid-June or later for those courts to be done?
Well, it depends on when those temperatures come up. I'm not sure what the weatherman says, but we obviously want to avoid the problems that we believe caused the failure in the first place. I don't know, Tim, if you have any insights as to when those weathers are looking to come up.
I would suspect May or June at the latest.
Another question I had was, there was an accident over by the post office where the guardrail was taken out there.
Yes.
Is there any way of moving that guardrail to protect people on the sidewalk rather than having it behind the sidewalk? I mean, if somebody would have been there, there could have been something really severe happen, whereas they're protecting the parking lot rather than pedestrians on the sidewalk.
I mean, that's something we could look at with the post office, I guess.
Yeah, because it's on the other side. It's not on the
street. Well, actually, I think that'd be my first reaction. Think about that through. That's MDOT right away, so anything of that would have to be discussed and approved ultimately by MDOT since they control that right away. But we could possibly start that discussion. Yeah. I haven't gotten a report or asked the police department for a report on that accident. That might be a good place to look. But apparently that has happened before, because I assume that's why the guardrail is in the first place.
Yeah. Right.
Or something like that has happened before.
And the other question I had, is the kitchen in the pavilion going to be a commercial kitchen?
Yes.
So there was some talk about making that an incubator or having private farmers utilize that. Is that still in the works?
That had been discussed. None of that has been finalized at this point, but part of the farmer's market or other individuals that are preparing home baked goods or other types of food products could potentially use that. So that all has to be worked out. But I think it's still open for discussion, and I use the term as a matter of fact, on the video that the Main Street folks were doing the other day, I used the term incubator on that as well too, so I'm certainly thinking that that's a possibility.
Just one other thing too, is I spend a lot of time up crossing the street near Lichtenberger at the Waterworks building.
Yes.
And there's a lot of elderly people who cross there. Is there any way to get a pedestrian crossing sign up there?
I think there is a work order that's been requested of the Department of Public Works to put one up this season. So yes, there's one there, and I think there's also been a request out on Vogel Street by the crossing over by the brook to get across to Rotary Park as well too. For them at both those locations. I'm not sure where that would fall on the DPW's list, but since Tim's put that work order program together, a lot of things seem to get accomplished.
Thank you.
Are the seniors using that new pavilion?
They sit on the bench by the Waterworks building more than, it's hard to, that's why we talked about a sidewalk going back to the pavilion with a walker, it's not level ground, so they don't use it that much, but the bench gets used a lot.
Yeah, I noticed that too. Thank you. Moving on to reports of officers, boards, and standing committees, we have the draft minutes from the September 3rd ZBA meeting, the draft minutes from the September 5th Main Street board meeting, the draft minutes of the September 12th Parks and Rec board meeting, the draft minutes of the September 16th Historical Commission meeting, the draft minutes of the September 16th Planning Commission meeting, and the draft minutes from the September 26th Airport Board meeting. Commissioners, are there any questions on any of those items? Okay. We do not have any old business. Moving on to new business, item A, storm water ordinance.
Thank you, Mayor. As I speak about my memo, in 2006, the county had to repeal its stormwater ordinance due to a pretty general opinion. And afterwards, the townships working with the Met and the cities and a variety of people to develop a new stormwater ordinance to take its place. It took several years. In 2012, it was finally brought to a point where it could be adopted, and it was developed to be adopted basically en masse by all municipalities. It brought the city at that time, and there were some concerns about some specific language in it. What was really taken into consideration some of the specific features of a city as opposed to a township. And there's some other aspects of it. There's only more appeals and aspect of it, the appeal process and those kind of things that the city at that time did not feel comfortable to move forward with and adopt it. But the cities of East Jordan and Charlotte felt the same. But most of the municipalities did adopt it, and it's been working pretty well for the townships since then. Basically, they adopt the individual ordinance, and the county through intergovernmental administers it for them. Afterwards, we recognize that stormwater control is an important issue, and when we started developing the SAW grant, we identified an opportunity there, perhaps to develop it through that process, and we put that into be funded as part of that. And then once that grant was funded, then we started moving forward with that process, and we reached out with the two East Jordan and Charlevoix, and worked with them to develop a new ordinance, and working with our engineer, Larry Fox, and Tim Boss, and also Tip the Met, we developed an ordinance that we thought met our needs. So now we are moving through this process kind of together. So we have provided it to both the communities of East Jordan and Charlevoix. They're going through this process now. We've had it reviewed by Tip the Met, Tennessee there, and she has fully endorsed it. We have given it to the county, and they have agreed that Yeah, it's one small change to it, which I have already incorporated, so it's looks good for that. So now it's being brought to the city commission for first reading. If you want to move forward, we can schedule a first and a second reading at the November 12th meeting at your place. So if you have any questions about the ordinance, I'd be more happy to answer them on.
Thank you. Do you have any comments from staff? All three of you here are pretty involved with this. Mike, you want to start?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of good collaboration with regards to this. We had the opportunity through our SAW grant funding to really use the grant dollars to help us move forward on this process and do the research and engage our engineers to do this work. Because of that SAW grant, we were able to also reach out to East Jordan and Charlevoix and do this in a collaborative process. So all three of us, as we go through this process, the goal is to have the same ordinance. And the ordinance itself, in many respects, is very similar to the existing ordinance that the township has, but tweaked to deal with the realities of the denser communities that you have with cities versus rural development. We have a lot of more compact development, not more streets and runoff and things of that nature. So that's the major difference in the ordinance. It's just recognizing the differences between the types of communities that we represent. That makes it easy for the county to enforce as well, too. This goes back to something we've been working on for some time. It's consistent with the goals of the city commission, and we feel very strongly that this is something we should move forward with. The city commission should introduce it tonight, have its first reading tonight, and then bring it back for the second reading, as staff recommends, on November 12th. East Jordan will be introducing this on the 15th. I think Charlotte already has, and they're looking for potential adoption on November 18th. So we're all working on this together, and I think we've got something that hopefully you will be able to support.
Thank you. Any other comments? Any public comments? You want to start, Hugh? You look like you have a question.
I have a question. So when the county administers it, what does that mean?
So they're the enforcing agency. They'll be the folks that, you know, well, Scott can probably discuss it better than I can, but with the getting the permits and things like that.
Yeah, the county would administer and issue permits, and they would collect the fees and keep those fees for that. They would, you know, do the inspections in regards to that. And if there's any follow-up enforcement, they would take that action and do that.
So does it work like a building permit or something like that? Or?
Pretty much. I mean, more like the soil erosion permits that they already do.
Okay.
So it's just kind of an extension of that. It's the same person that does that. So, you know, they've been doing it for a while, so they do have the expertise there.
Do we reimburse them for their staff person to do
that? No, it's basically they keep all the fees and you know, any fines assessed would be, they keep that. And we just, we are, you know, it's our ordinance, but they would keep any money.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Well,
let's make this official. You okay. Can start the discussion.
Official. Oof. I know nothing about stormwater. Although someone did have a resident ask me a question, how much of stormwater goes into the lake? What percentage?
I would think almost all of it ultimately ends up there. I mean, we're in a bowl with hills all around us, and everything kind of flows towards the lake. You know, some of it may go into the ground ultimately before it hits the lake or the river, which ends up going to the lake. But I would think ultimately the aquifers take the vast majority of it to the lake. So,
okay. So the sewers don't collect any of the storm water and it goes to the wastewater treatment?
No, they're not intended to. Those are supposed to be completely different systems. I mean, you've heard in some communities like Detroit or Grand Rapids where they have combined sewers and they have all these overflows and things of that nature. We work very hard to make sure that our systems are separate. Sometimes even when we find people with sump pumps that hook them up into the sanitary sewer system, those are not supposed to be tied into that. It just overtaxes the sanitary sewer system and causes problems.
Thank you.
But again, also look at, you know, again, consistent with our goals, we're trying new efforts. Again, the stormwater filtration system that we have behind the log cabin and Sunset Park that filters most of the water that's collected in the storm sewer system downtown before it goes into the lake, or it used to go into the river. And also, like over the site underground there and also with those new swales we're creating. So we're trying to make sure that it isn't just a straight, quick flush into the lake or river.
I strongly support us moving this forward.
Thank you. Sally?
Yeah, my only question was going to be the cost to us with the kind of doing it.
Because they have a double agreement that has to be signed by both parties.
Yeah.
Okay. Dean?
Yeah, if I recall the history of this, back in 2006, it was still broadly supported, but the Attorney General said that Apaches really don't have the authority, they don't have the ability to do that. So then each individual township, and now the cities have to do their own, but still allow the original intent that the county would treat this similar like they do soil erosion sedimentation, just made sense. So is that accurate?
Yeah, so it's basically working like it did prior to the repeal of the ordinance.
Right, yeah. So I was wondering if you could explain the difference between this ordinance and the stormwater-related standards that we might already have in the zoning ordinance.
The stormwater standards in the zoning ordinance are really limited. It basically is a generic statement that, you know, the stormwater needs to be taken care of. There's no specific formulas or ways to do that. So, and developers have been willing to work with us to make sure it's taken care of. But this would establish, you know, quantitative standards that we know we can meet. So it's much better way to administer. And the other, the ordinance, you know, would be difficult to enforce, you know, failures.
The zoning ordinance.
Yes. You know, this would help that as well.
Great. So who's most likely to be affected by this? Is this something that if somebody's building a single-family home, they'd be affected by, or is it more like a commercial or multi-family?
It typically would be commercial where they're disturbing an increase by, I think it's 20% more impervious surface. Homeowners would have grades of over 10%. They would be affected, but on a case-by-case basis, the agent can review those, and because it would require development of a stormwater management plan, a very detailed kind of thing, and they can look at each case and determine whether or not that's necessary, and kind of judge each one and have whatever information is, you know, relevant to that particular application supplied as opposed to, you know, developing a whole very extensive plan. So
it sounds like this is something that developers and homeowners, if they have steep slopes, have had to deal with in the past. It adds more definition to that, kind of, perhaps.
And a permitting process.
A permitting process to make it so that a person really knows what they have to comply with instead of not exactly knowing what the general language is. That's great. Now, you said it's been working pretty well in townships, though, this spring.
Yeah, Wilson Township adopted it. I believe Evangeline adopted it, and you know, they've been working well with them.
The last question was, I wonder if the standards that were in there, there's a lot of them, I'm not sure I read every single one, but there's a lot of numbers in there.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's taking into account that it's been getting wetter in recent years, or there's a way of being able to adjust the standards if we see that this is below current.
We had that discussion with our engineer, whether or not these were adequate. I think it would be a case that we review, you know, as time goes on and see if it is meet the requirements, if not, then adjust. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's something that we thought.
Sounds great. Well, it took 13 years to correct this, but I'm glad that we found it out there.
And moving forward.
Keep moving forward. Exactly. Thank you. Huh?
Keep moving forward. It's, you know, it really seems to me that it's good practice to, you know, require a water management plan and what protect, make sure of when, protect the watershed. And it's got a very encompassing litany of items that have to be, you know, that are required. So it's good to have oversight. So I'm good with it.
Thank you. I guess my question, Scott. So when Glenn Catt did his project down here, his engineer designed it, and then it all went to the filtering system in the behind, and he did that in a very responsible way, even though we didn't have that ordinance, we didn't have a lot of teeth in it at that point. And so another example is Lake Loss on Lake Street, we'll have to abide by this if it's all timing right, but basically, again, that'll all be gathered, filtered, distributed. So those are examples of big commercial downtown areas that are being managed correctly.
Mr. Mayor, can I ask one question about that filtration system? Does it need to be maintained on a regular basis?
It is.
Is it?
Yes. Yeah, we clean it out with the vacuum trucks on a regular basis.
Okay.
There's some certain ports on it, very close to the Water Street side of it. There's some sidewalks, you'll see some look like manhole covers, and those are cleaning ports.
Okay.
I'm in full support and would entertain a motion.
I'm sure performers are sort of going to approve a first reading, or whether we just schedule the second reading. I move to schedule a second reading of the stormwater ordinance for November 12th, 2015.
Any further discussion?
Would it be possible to have Renetta here at the second reading, just in case?
I can ask her, but she's going to have some answers.
Roll call, please.
Grunch.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Page.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Moving on to item B, Michigan Avenue and North Lake Street resurfacing project. Tim.
Thank you, Mayor. As the commission is aware, this project has been in the planning stage for a number of years now. This will be a reconstruction, or let me restate, a rehabilitation of the existing pavement from where we left off this year near Lakeview Drive at the City Boat Lodges. The red area on the map, all the way out to West Michigan Avenue, where the road kind of splits towards Glenwood Beach and then up towards Boyd City Shore Road. So it's approximately a mile length of pavement, and we have been working with MDOT and our partners through the Rural Task Force here in Charlevoix County and the other counties involved in our area regarding securing funding for some time on this project. The funding that we ultimately got was a little bit less than originally anticipated, but close. The total cost of the project is going to be $325,900, and between the federal, they call it STP money, and the state Category D money, there's $209,970,000 available. So that means there's a difference of roughly $116,000 that needs to be made up by the city of Boyne City to complete that project. And I have tentatively included $250,000 in next year's capital improvement plan for that purpose. So if the commission does ultimately approve the budget as we hope it will going forward into next year, the funds will be there to pay for our share of roughly $16,000. So the project has been designed, it's been submitted to MDOT for approval. We're just awaiting final kind of blessing from MDOT to get it into what they call the queue for letting of the bids. And with the signature of the contract tonight, or approval of that, it would be set up to be bid in December and then probably awarded in January. So that construction could begin just as soon as the frost laws are lifted, likely about mid-April. MDOT will be bidding the project on our behalf and largely kind of administering the project on our behalf, but we do provide the on-site construction engineering testing and kind of day-to-day, management of the actual project. So this is the standard form of agreement that MDOT has used for these projects. And with the approval tonight, it kind of takes care of the next step.
Thank you. Mike?
I think anybody that's driven on that road lately will attest, and probably over the last couple of years, it's probably one of the worst pieces of paved road that we have in the city of Boyne City. It really does need to be replaced, and this project will be basically, as Tim mentioned, tie in with the project that we completed this summer with this first section of North Lake Street. I should also remind the City Commission that as part of the engineering work that was previously approved by the City Commission for C2AE, they've been working on designs for the non-motorized trail to go along this as well, too. Earlier this summer, much of the staff and representatives from C2AE basically walked from here all the way out there to try to visualize and give some ideas for C2AE to get past some of the roadblocks that we've had as we've looked at designs. We've talked to C2AE, and they plan on getting us designs for us to review and discuss prior to the end of the year on the trail portion of that. But as we're doing the design work, we try to combine those efforts since we're talking about much of the same portion of road anyway. So that, while that's not part of the approval tonight, tonight's approval is only for the road portion of the project, and we would want to keep those projects separate. I just wanted to give you a little bit of an update on that as well, too.
So the two can dovetail without, we do this, and in a few years from now, we do the trail extension, we won't be tearing up what we did.
That's correct, and a lot of the design work is basically trying to make sure that we accomplish that. Again, we need to review the final plans that C2AE comes up with for the trail project. The timing for the road project is more critical because we're going through the state bidding process, and they are not, you know, they have a whole more complicated process for us. I don't know if you recall how late it took us to get bids out on this section of North Lake Street that they did this last year, because it takes them so long, they only have so many letting dates that they use. But the whole idea is to make sure that we coordinate that when we're doing one project, we're setting the stage for the next one as well, too.
Okay. Any other comments from staff or the
board? Yeah. We're the ones paying for that road, right?
It's a combination of federal money, state money, and local money.
Okay, because if you go around Boyd City, there's actually roads that are looser than that have not been attended to in a while. And I was just wondering, all this money that we're going to spend in this road right here, why don't we fix up some of these other roads that really need to be fixed?
Because this works with the state money and the federal money will not work on other local roads. It will work on this road. It's just the way the roads are defined by the state.
I believe, isn't it true, we do have a road rating system in the city to try to prioritize things based on their condition and availability of funds.
Correct. Okay, any other questions? Let's go to board deliberation. Ryan?
Well, I support the recommendation, and Mike answered my question in regards to the last link to the city and the Boyne City Charleboy Trail, so I'm good with that.
Okay. Dean?
A concern of the bike path, non-motorized trail. So that's a separate project that wouldn't necessarily happen next year, is that correct?
Correct.
So if I got this right, then the discussions about that were just to make sure that the project we're doing next year doesn't interfere with that opportunity, or that it's constructed in a way that I guess I'm not sure the relationship between paving project or rehabilitation project next year and the future.
We're sending engineers out to design the project. They have to go and get the road right-of-ways and things like that, lay all the plans out. So if they're doing the work for one project and the other one is immediately adjacent to it, there's efficiencies to be gained there. And also we want to make sure that as they are designing, especially the road rehabilitation project, if they have to shift things one way or the other, that they're keeping in mind that we want to have the trail project put in. So we want them to design a road that puts something in place that inadvertently causes us a problem with the trail project that we're going to want to do in short order thereafter.
Yeah. Any thoughts about either the cost or funding sources for the bike?
No. We want to get the design first, then we'll talk about it. And then we have to get the cost based on the design and things of that nature.
Yeah. The other question I had was sort of a budgetary thing. So we're obligating funds now, but they haven't really been budgeted until next year.
Yes.
I'm sure it's common problem across budget years like this with projects that we have to get started now, even though we might not be utilizing funds for that.
Yes, it's been a common occurrence.
It's a common occurrence. So we've already got that in mind because of the capital improvements plan. That would be something that longer range funding we would anticipate. Any questions? Thanks.
And I should also point out that, like these grant funds that Tim and the mayor were talking about, we have to line those up with the state, the local task force, years in advance. So we've known that this project was coming probably about 3 or 4 years ago, and we've been slowly preparing for it. So it crosses over many fiscal years to begin.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sally?
I'm good with it.
Good. You?
I have concerns about the bike path too, because I did a little research, and back in March 19th of 2017, we were given a request for a Department of Natural Resource Trust Fund grant to build a trail. And we had it's following the same path, and that was 2 years ago. And we decided we weren't going to do it because we didn't have it properly laid out. And now here we are 2 years later or more, and we're working on the same road, and we still don't know how the trail is going to get into town, which seems it's very disappointing. When a few years ago, we were already, 2 weeks before the application deadline, we were presented with six different alternatives of a route. And here we are 2 years later, and we haven't done anything about it, and we're reconstructing the road. It just doesn't seem right to me. So I'm very disappointed about that.
Well, I guess I disagree with your assessment that we haven't been doing anything about it. It may not be on the time frame that you like, but the staff has been going forward with regards to it. There is a red line on that map that doesn't show. We had alternate, as you mentioned, we had alternate layouts that we brought up to deal with a couple of the traffic crossings and things of that nature. I think the plan that's going to be brought to you and recommended by staff in C2AE will address those concerns I came up with.
Well, the trail's been open since 2016. Yeah, here we are. And Boyne City still doesn't have a safe way for people to get into town. So whatever staff might be doing, I guess it isn't meeting the timeline that I would think would be reasonable. So that's all I have.
Thank you. I am in favor of this. With that discussion, I think all of us mentioned concerns about getting it in and it is being addressed. So.
So is it possible to get the engineer's report and make an application to the Department of Natural Resource Trust Fund grant by April 1st of 2020?
That would be something we'll discuss once the plans are available. It has that possibility, yes. I think the trails were included in the Recreation Master Plan. There's going to be some discussion. I think that will be taking place at the Park Board meetings Thursday with regards to potential updates to the Recreation Master Plan, because those have to be done every 5 years or so. So I think there's a possibility, and we'll just have to see how that goes out and what the priorities of the commission are going to be.
Yes.
I know when we did the first section of North Lake last year, the new shoulder there was helpful from that point till we get over to where the sidewalk would begin, like in front of the open space wall, for bicycles. That it was just a little bit wider and freshly paved, and while it's not, I felt safer, I feel safer on that than the unreconstructed part, or the rehabilitated part. Now, so in this construction project, will the new shoulders be similar to the shoulders that are on the, or in the first phase of the project?
I can get you that answer. That was one of the items that we discussed as we did our walking tour. Couple months ago. I couldn't give you the exact dimensions on that.
Yeah. I guess my point is, it's not ideal, but it would help.
Yes.
At least in the short term, make it feel safer when you're on a bicycle going.
Okay. Any further discussion?
I had a question. You know, being federal funds are used for the Davis-Bacon rules, does that still apply to a project like this?
I think there's about three or four pages at the very back of the contract that stipulates all of MDOT's prevailing wage and non-discrimination clauses that they have, so whatever applies in one of their standard contracts applies to this one.
So it increases the cost of doing the finishing the project then?
It does. MDOT's required to do it by the federal government. Whenever federal dollars are part of a road project, then that agency, which in this case is MDOT, is required to follow the federal law. So they don't have an option. They pass that on to us when it comes to these types of projects.
Okay, I would entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion. It's my recommendation that the City Commission approve the attached certified resolution approving the contract with MDOT for the Michigan Avenue and North Lake Street project, contract number 19-5469, and further authorizing the city manager and city treasurer to execute the document.
Second.
We have a second. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Page.
Page.
Solomon.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Grunch.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, moving on to item C, cyber insurance quotation.
The commission will recall that last year we renewed our liability insurance for a period of up to 3 years, and I've included a copy of our memo from last year talking about that. Actually, this year the price of our overall liability insurance has gone down by about $400 due to some changes in our coverage. But basically, the rates are being held flat as we considered at that time. As I mentioned, our rates are pretty much unchanged. But since then, the need for cyber insurance has become more apparent given the increase in ransomware and similar criminal activities targeting computer systems of various types of organizations, including governments. We've attached for the Commission's consideration a quotation for such coverage that was requested from our agent, Paul Olson, and from a firm that he has worked with for other similar communities, such as Charlevoix. The Michigan Township Participating Plan, which provides the majority of our liability insurance, is preparing but does not yet have a product of its own. Once it does, Paul anticipates it will be coming out in the next few months, we can compare the coverage and cost to what we have before us, and if we want to, we can make a change and get refunded part of the existing premium. The proposed additional coverage cost is $1,621 for a year, and that's noted on page 13 of their attachments, and that includes an additional rider for cyber deception coverage, which is described in more detail on attached page 5. Although the speakers at the 2 weeks ago's Michigan Municipal League conference that I moderated on computer ransomware recommended against paying ransom, so not to encourage the practice further, I believe it is prudent for us to obtain this coverage and give ourselves the option if the need ever arises. This expense has not been included in this fiscal year budget, but can be provided when we amend the budget if needed and in next year's budget. The items that, if we approve this, will overlap on both of those budgets, kind of going back to Dean's comment on the road project earlier. So it's my recommendation that the City Commission authorize myself and the City Clerk Treasurer to take the steps necessary to obtain the cyber insurance coverage as quoted for $1,621 from the BCS Insurance Company for 2019-2020 year. And I'm glad to address any questions.
Okay, thanks. Any comments from staff or public?
You mentioned your memo about the MML conference. You said recommend against paying for ransoms.
Correct.
But this coverage is more than just that. Is that correct? It's not just for paying.
Correct. It's not just, yes.
If the computers, start smoking or something like that.
No, it will not cover that.
But what will cover? I thought there was more than.
No, it isn't. This isn't insurance on the devices themselves.
All right, but there seemed like there's some other stuff in there, wasn't just...
Yeah, it's not just ransomware.
Not just ransomware, right?
But there's phishing concerns, and there's, like, we talked about the cyber deception, where somebody could either call in on the phone and encourage you to, you know, move money to a different account and things of that nature. And to be candid, we've been hit by some of those really basic levels of attacks up to this point, but we've been able to see through them.
My second question was, you had that MML session, did they talk at all about best practices to prevent the problem from happening? And if so, are we in Boone City, do our procedures follow best practices for preventing this sort of attack?
It's a learning process. We're working towards that. Hugh forwarded to me a copy of the article that was in the Petoskey News Review and in Ridge Magazine. That kind of echoed a lot of the same comments that were talked about the MML. There's, and we talked a lot about it when we had the discussion about the police support for their computer systems at our recent meeting. So there's a large component that's technology driven, that the computers can, you know, be watching for, or various programs and things of that nature. There's other parts of it, and what really came across to me at the MML conference is how much of it is the human factor. If someone had just fooled, from time to time, Cindy will get an email spoofing that it's from me or from other members of the staff saying, oh yeah, move a couple $100,000 to this, you know, account or something of that nature. Or it only takes a person to go in and, you know, click on an attachment from some type of bogus type of software or email that can open up Pandora's box even if you have all these defenses in place. So it's really a combination of both the psyche, people want to try and help people and be accommodating, that's what our staff is really good at, but sometimes you have to hold back and say, okay, something's not right here, and that's, I think, a part that we really have to work on encouraging people to do. It was really interesting at the session, they talked about communities and organizations that have gone through these trainings over and over and over again, and then they kind of do a false test on their people, and it still, you know, people are trying to help and do the right thing, and they make a mistake in the meantime. So, and then how do you recover from that? Because it's human nature, once you make a mistake, not necessarily to admit it, but to kind of hope it goes away, where speed is really your ally in addressing these issues. So to answer your question, we're not there yet. I don't know if we'll ever be all the way there yet, because I don't know how you completely control for the human factor.
Well, it seems like, you know, things you're talking about, you know, discussions among staff, training, making sure that our technology is current, as it pretty much is, and always being on the lookout for changes that, or threats that we could react to. It seems like a prudent step. Sounds like
we're moving on that path. I won't say that we're there yet. We have a ways to go, but I think we're moving along that way. I think people have their eyes and ears open here, but again, it just takes one slip to let the cat in.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dean. Sally?
Yeah, I don't know enough to be able to say, but it looks good that we need that. Just in today's age, it's all about money's coming in to get enough. So yeah, I'm for this.
Thank you. You?
Yeah, I'm good with it. I think in answer to Dean's question, it covers, like, if somebody does get in and a third party gets offended or gets, that covers the liability of that happening for the city. So I was wondering, with the SAW grant, we've got some new computer equipment. Has that, like, gone throughout the administrative side, or is our equipment up? It just made me think, reading that Bridge Magazine article about the equipment that you have and whether or not it's capable of fighting or, you know, being efficient and having the programs to protect yourself.
Our computers are right now. We're going to be having a challenge at the end of the year when Windows 7 has faded out. We're going to have to look and see if we're going to have to replace some additional equipment to get it up to, like, the Windows 10 level, or whether some of those computers can be upgraded to accept Windows 10 and operate efficiently. So right now we're pretty well, our computer's pretty well up to speed, but again, that'll be changing a lot at the end of the fiscal, or the calendar year, excuse me.
And just on a related note, did the police department's installation of this happen yet, or is it working?
I'd have to refer that to Jeff to give you an update on that.
It has not, because I was gone and Mike was gone.
Yeah, we didn't get it signed, but
it'll be on his desk one morning.
Hey, Brad?
I have a question in regards to the Boyne Area Senior Center. The city co-insures it, and it puts up with the fire and director and officer's liability. Would this also cover the senior center?
No.
The
city's coverage does not cover the senior center. The senior center, I believe, gets their coverage through us, is my understanding, and then pays a separate fee.
Right.
So they'd have to get a quotation on something like this for their operation if they wanted to. That's something we can get a quote for if they're interested in it, because I think they get all their insurance through the park plan as well.
Right. Just thinking how that might apply to them.
Because I know they've got a computer lab up there and things of that nature. Do they have computers operating from the county there as well, too, since they provide the staff? So some of that might be covered under the county's program, since they have some computer hardware there of their own. Might be worth checking to see, you know.
Well, most of it's just well, I'm just thinking about our treasurer. You know, anyone that's authorized to sign a check or something like this for the senior center, you know, could be, you know, some scam would take place, whether it has some kind of, you know, coverage to, and I assume if there was a scam, that's basically the premise of needing this insurance.
Right.
So I'll check on that.
Yeah, we'd be glad to help if they have some questions. I just don't know enough about the situation, what computers that their treasurer uses, things of that nature. If it's personal computers or the senior center computers.
Now, we don't really have a dedicated senior center as far as the 501c of Boyne Area Seniors, no, but the county does. So
then I would assume that would probably be in the county's computer network, but that might be worth double checking. Mm-hmm. With their IT department.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Ryan. I'm in full support. That's a pretty cheap
insurance.
Insurance, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not much money to cover a lot of potential issues. So I would entertain a motion.
I make a motion to authorize the city manager and the city clerk treasurer to take the steps necessary to obtain cyber insurance for $1,621, as noted under the quotation from the BCS Insurance Company for 2019 and 2020.
Second. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Page.
Aye.
Salomon.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Motion carries.
All right, thank you. Moving on to the order. Commissioner, anything? Tom? Ron and I went to the Michigan Municipal League and went to a lot of good seminars. And I thought a lot of it applied to what we could apply to Boyne City. I was thinking about this. I haven't had time to summarize the sessions I went to, but would it be appropriate that Ryan and I write something down and then send it to you and you could share it with the commissioner?
Sure. Yeah. And that'd be good for all of us to kind of share.
Yeah. And so the three of us could kind of share what we learned. I think that's why we go to seminars, is to learn, and doesn't do us any good if we don't share it. So I was thinking the best way to share it would not be talking about it tonight, but to type up something. So that's on my homework list. All right. But it was a good conference. Anything else? Announcements? The next regular city commission meeting is scheduled for October 22nd at noon, and it is 8 o'clock. I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?